I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my name's Stuart Miles and welcome to the Apocalypse Podcast. As CES starts to get underway, Samsung has lifted the lid on its 2021 TV offering for this year. Apocalypse Rick Henderson joins us to talk about what the company has in store for us when it comes to watching TV in your home. Meanwhile, I've been talking to Novato Systems, a company that has created a groundbreaking new technology called sound beaming, which it says projects sound directly outside the user's ear without the need to wear any physical device or without disturbing people nearby. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, stay tuned to find out how it works, what are the implications, and how headphones could become a thing of the past in the future. And Apocalypse Reviews editor Mike Lowe is here to talk to us about ZTE's latest smartphone, the ZTE Axon 20 5G. It's the first smartphone to have an under-the-display front-facing camera. Does it work? Mike gives us his verdict on the new 5G handset from the company. But first, back to you, Rick. Tell us more about what Samsung has announced.
Well, Samsung has kind of kicked off this year's CES, which is a CES quite unlike any other we've had, thanks to the pandemic. It's all virtual, which is of benefit to us in the UK because we don't have to stay up hideously late.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm not missing the jet lag this year.
Yeah, indeed. But what it did is it had its first look event. It's going to have several events for different types of products over the forthcoming week, etc. But its first event was entirely about its televisions. And the biggest surprise of all of its television announcements is that it is embracing mini LED. Now, Samsung had already announced about 2 years ago, wasn't it? The Wall, which was a micro LED TV. So people can be excused for being a little confused.
And there was that micro LED announcement just before Christmas, wasn't there? They said it's now becoming more accessible and we're only going to make it, we're now not only 100 inch, but now we're going to make it 85 inch because that's what you need.
Indeed. And the micro LED TVs that they're now pushing out can also be installed by the user rather than needing custom installation. But that aside, the confusion will be that mini LED and micro LED are two totally different technologies. One, micro LED refers to self-illuminating pixels, much like OLED, but done in a sort of like a non-organic way so that they don't deteriorate over time. Whereas mini LED entirely refers to the backlight of the new televisions, the QLED, the Neo QLED TVs, which Samsung has announced. Now, mini LED will also improve normal LCD and LED TVs greatly, to the extent where black levels will be very dark, deep and involving, and colors will be better saturated, and HDR response will be better. The difference with mini LED and other technologies is that they can also provide incredible brightness, much better than OLED. So while it won't be quite as good as OLED, I think this is a major breakthrough for LCD TV technology because this backlighting is quite extraordinary, really, when you see it up close.
And that was, obviously, there's a new line. There's the Neo range of TVs which are going to use this. How does that, do you think that's going to compare against the QLED stuff that they've already got, the other bits? Are we going to see, is there a huge drastic change in the picture quality, do we think?
I think that's the key, yes. There will be I mean, let's face it, the Samsung QLED TVs, because Samsung has always not embraced OLED, right? It's the one manufacturer that absolutely turned its back on it and said that its QLED panels were just as good. And everything I've seen of QLED in literally just by going to Currys or any other retailer, and actually looking it on the floor when we could. And I've been very impressed by Samsung's QLED TVs. These propose to be even better still. because they what mini LED does is it basically it puts thousands and thousands of tiny LEDs in the backlight so that they can switch them off individually as needed by zones, but basically there's no light bleed whatsoever, so it looks perfect, absolutely perfect. But combined with that is Samsung's new technologies, including neo quantum processing, I think they call it, which uses multiple AIs and multiple neural networks.
Someone has clearly been watching The Matrix too much over the last couple of months during lockdown.
It's crazy. The wording is, I mean, that's typical of CES just generally, isn't it? So many buzzwords and so many strange headlines. I remember being at one CES and it said, we give you surround sound for your eyes.
See, this always is going, why you need surround sound for your eyes. Surely that's the way to do it. So now talking of buzzwords, one of the buzzwords I picked up from watching the event as well was screens everywhere. And so how are they kind of dealing with that? Is it just the Neo stuff that they're bringing out?
I think that basically refers to the fact that Samsung has gone away from just creating traditional televisions, as it had in the past, to making many different form factors or types of TV, which we saw last year with the Cero, I think it was called, which can turn around to be in portrait mode as well as horizontal. So it's to sort of reflect the content, say TikTok, for example, on your phone. Now, that's aimed at a very specific audience, but what it means is that there are lots of different TVs for lots of different examples and situations you might have around your home. So their screen everywhere philosophy is put a TV in every room, but not just have a TV in every room, but have a screen dedicated to the purpose of that room, which is essentially just trying to flog us more TVs. Because quite frankly, we all have really good TVs now. I mean, 4K has been around for quite a while now, and 4K TV sales have really expanded and grown during lockdown, that's for sure, or during the pandemic phase. So how do you sell people more TVs when they've quite recently only bought TVs? So Samsung is saying, now treat your bathroom to a TV. Now treat your garden to it. That was the funniest one. It's treat your garden to a TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you mean your garden doesn't have a TV? This is outrageous.
You can't escape them.
No, so okay, so that's so this is Samsung's launch. We've obviously, it'd be worth mentioning very quickly, we're recording this before CES has properly kicked off. It kicks off on the 11th of January. We've still got a number of other TVs. What's the big headline? Is there any big headlines we're expecting over the rest of the week?
Well, LG, who traditionally always has some quite exciting TV announcements, is about to announce its own mini LED TVs to give people that sort of like that bridging part where if they can't quite afford a flagship OLED panel, then they could afford one of their mini LED TVs instead. They've also very recently announced, but are going to show during their virtual presentation, the a curved TV that is one of those auto curving displays, but that's mainly for gamers because while it can be used as a display, a 2D display to watch television on or do anything that's normal, it can also press a button and it can curve around a 1000R, the PC gaming community call them, to have a curvature so that as a single player in the middle of this display, you get a sort of like an even image around you. It's great for gaming. We've tried curved TVs for TV in the past and they're pretty useless because if you've got more than one person viewing them at opposite angles, they're not great.
Still to come, Mike gives us his verdict on the ZTE Axon 20 5G.
So the area where the camera is, it's almost like a little mesh, like it's like a pixel on, pixel off, pixel on, pixel off kind of thing. So you don't really see it unless you really like properly look up close.
The headphone market is not only huge, but still growing as more and more of us take to immersing ourselves into a soundtrack that isn't just what's around us. The problem is, though, is that headphones can be cumbersome, easily lost, and need recharging. But what if you could ditch all that for a technology that sounds and feels like you're wearing the headphones still, but without actually wearing them? That's the premise behind a new technology called sound beaming from Novato Systems. Developed over the last decade, the technology uses a 3D sensing module to locate and track the user's ear position, sending audio via ultrasonic waves to create focused sound pockets beside your ears. According to Novato, the user is able to hear the audio, 3D or even novel spatial 3D sound, within the pockets without wearing any physical device. When they move their head, the sound pockets follow, creating a free and natural way to listen like never before. Now, before Christmas, I spoke to Dr. Christoph Ramstein, the CEO of the company, to talk about the technology, the use applications, and when we might actually stop using headphones altogether. I started by asking him to explain how the technology actually worked.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a brand new type of sensory listening, a technology that is beaming sounds just outside of your ears. It creates actually pockets of energy that are going to be creating audible sounds. And to do that, it is using ultrasounds that are being beamed. So there's beam forming being created. And thanks to a 3D depth camera that's on the device, we have the ability to really track exactly where the location of your ears are, so we can always follow you when you move your head, make sure that the sounds are being produced exactly outside of your ears. And so what that is actually creating is not just the fact that you have two invisible headphones, one next to each ear, but now you can create 3D sounds, because each of them can create the sound like it would be on your real headphones. But the thing is, you do not have any wearable device on your body. It's just beam from a device that's on your desk, in your car, on the soundbar for the TV, and it's beaming sound next to you. And the other thing that it's really doing is, because we're beaming these pockets of sound just outside of your ear, just you will be able to hear it. There's a very high acoustic attenuation of minus 20 dB, which means that someone sitting 3 feet or a meter next to you, we only get 10% of the sound that you are getting.
So you talked about some of the benefits there of sort of in a car and things. Where do you see this product being, where do you see this technology being implemented, and what kind of products? Because majority of people, you know, if you had it on your phone, for example, then majority of the time when people are making calls or they're watching, you know, some, not necessarily watching something, but their phone's in their pocket. And if it's got a camera, then you can't necessarily see it. So where do you see this being implemented?
So the different use cases, but before I go there, Stuart, if you don't mind. So the core technology that the differentiator that Novato brings is really this beamforming sounds outside of your ear to make 3D and high attenuation. But then on top of that, we're also leveraging the fact that we have a camera and a mic on the device to create a far more interesting user experience interfacing with the computer by using face expression and emotion tracking in real time combined with voice recognition. So now we have a device that not only brings the sound outside of your ear without any headphones, it also gives you a much natural, more intuitive, more versatile multimodal user interface that allows you to do that. So, which leads me to the use case. So, definitely the smart home, homes where there is more and more people sharing the space, and you want to have your private space at the same time, you don't want to be cut off from others. So, when I do video calls, typically I have to wear my headphones because I don't want to bother people next to me. Now, with our technology, I don't have to wear headphones anymore, and I'm still part of the environment. I'm not cut from my family's watching TV in the living rooms, or someone is doing something else. So video calling, playing game, a 3D games where you don't need the headphones and you really are into it with this very user-friendly, easy-to-use technology. It is watching movies. Again, I'm watching movies with my dad next to me. I watch it in English. He will watch it in German. We are next to each other with our headphones, and we can have this translation It is about fitness at home without wearing the headphones. I can do my exercise free of, you know, again, having those devices on my body, but then still into it. Mindfulness, you know, I'm trying to meditate, relaxing in the morning.
Sure.
You know, I don't have to wear anything. Pure freedom, pure beauty. And you get the sound. They're in 3D. You don't bother people next to you. It's a very elegant solution. So that would be for the smart home. But then when we go outside of the house, like in the office space, we have, as you know, the highest level of frustration due to noise distraction. 60% of the people always complain about high noise distraction. So we help in those cases by reducing this level of distraction without having to wear headphones. At the same time, we do video calls, multiple people, different languages, and we don't bother each other. And then eventually outside of the home and outside of the office, there is digital signage. There is where, you know, you walk in front of a display, it talks to you because it's 3D, you turn your head on your right. And then the system identifies who you are in terms of age, gender, profile, and customizes the advertisement. It is about being in a bus and the driver, or in a car and the driver only gets audio feedback from the outside, right, without having to wear headphones, etc., etc.
So you see, there's lots of implementations there. Where is this available now, or is it still at the sort of demo concept stage? And
so currently we have the product, the Sound Beamer, is going to start shipping in December 2021, 12 months from now, hopefully a little bit earlier. We have been partnering with the largest product manufacturer, Foxconn, starting this year. So Foxconn is going to help us and is helping us bringing the device to market. And we're going to be announcing in January a founder edition of this device with pre-sales that are starting around the CES timeframe.
How did the inventor come up with this idea? What's the thinking behind it? You know, that eureka moment.
Yeah, so actually Tomer Shani and Noam Babayev, two friends from universities, decided years ago to really create a transforming way of listening to sounds. At the time, they were always concerned by, why do I have to wear headphones to get personal sounds? And so they say, well, there has to be a solution. And that's how they came up with this brilliant idea of using ultrasound to create, to beam sounds just outside of your ears. And that's the way they started the company out of Israel. They started originally by just, you know, being in the garage, getting some kind of prototypes. And then in 1914, we got some family office visionaries who just saw the tech and said, oh my God, this has to be on the market, and decided to invest in the company.
And then you came on 6 months ago to sort of spearhead the next sort of stage of the business.
Yeah, correct. I mean, the company really spent the past 10 years and tens of millions to really bring the tech to a point where it's mature and ready to go to market. And so I come from a very strong background in product. I was an executive at Logitech, head of engineering, lots of experience in bringing products to market as well as licensing. And so the company was looking for someone who had done that before, who has brought product, knows how to make it happen, has a design thinking mindset, has international experience working with people and subparts of the company across the globe. And that's what I joined about June of this year.
And do you see that is a way of the technology? Do you see it as a case of this is of something you'll make yourselves, and then you'll put into webcams or laptop screen, you know, monitors or laptop screens or cars, or will you try and?
That's a typical. We're a product company, so we are going to start by launching a product in December with the pre-sale starting in January of this year. Then, of course, you know, we're working with Foxconn and other partners to make sure that the components of our technology can be easily licensed and distributed to any big tech company who wants to integrate this in their speakers, in their flat screens, in their soundbars, eventually in the laptops and tablets. So all the structure of the company has been organized in such a way that first we get a product out, but all the components that are in it would be part of a licensing scheme with a reference design that can be easily integrated with OEMs and big tech companies' products.
And so if you're successful and this technology has proved to work and everybody wants to use it, how long do you think it will be before the headphones of the current day are relics of the past?
Well, I think the real key challenge to me is how do we interface really with the AI of the future? I mean, we all know that AI has made some huge progress in how they or it influences our lives. And to me, the question is, what is going to become the best experience user interface with this AI? And I think that's where users really appreciate having an interface that combines the visuals, combines voice recognition with speech synthesis, combines face tracking, face emotion, ambient noise, and sound beaming to really get into the best interface with the AI. And I think that's what Nevito is going to do, really being the AI platform for the communication of the future. And iPhones and smartphones and Android phones won't be able to meet that need. There will be devices, but the interface with the future is really something that requires multimodality, and that's really what we are going to do, the AI platform for communication of the future. And how much time it's going to take is, to me, look, all the smart speakers exist today. It's just speaking. Now, how do we bring this to the next level that is leveraging human senses in a multimodal way? And again, that's what Nevito is doing, and it will take 3-5 years where people realize, look, I want to communicate with other forms of intelligence in the normal way I communicate with my friends, parents, colleagues, and so on.
Now, some people would argue that one of the joys of a pair of headphones is that you can take them off and everything stops instantly. How do you stop if we're sound beaming all our different audios to you as you walk down the street, or if you're in your house and whatever, you know, some might argue that it sounds like a small child just screaming at you that you can't turn off. How do you go about combating?
Well, you just said it. You just turn off, I stop. You don't smile. Look, today our system has the ability to identify me smiling or not smiling, looking or not looking. So if I look at the device and show him a face saying, look, stop, or just say stop, and it stops. That's, I think, really where I feel the future is going, is how we intelligently interact with others and with the AI of the coming age. And that's really what we are bringing, is much more than taking them off, is really literally telling what I want to do, and based on my profile, my face, do I want it or not, to just get it done, removed automatically based on what I typically do in this context.
Phone makers have been getting creative when it comes to selfie cameras. We've had the notch, the punch hole, the pop-up, and now it's the turn of the under-display camera. With the ZTE Axon 20 5G, the first phone to launch in the market with such a design. And the Axon 20 5G represents not only the first from a technological point of view, thanks to the camera, but a renewed push for the company to appeal to a wider audience. Now, Mike, you've been using the new phone. Does it work? Is it any good?
So yeah, it's kind of a little glimpse into the future, I suppose, because it does work. The camera is by and large hidden away. You need to look very closely to notice it. And I think it's kind of going to set the sort of precedent for what will come from some of the bigger manufacturers who aren't perhaps quite ready to go that far yet, because I suspect there's more research and development to be done to implement it slightly better in the future.
Now, a lot of people have got a phone that has a punch hole or has a notch or has all those, you know, different variants, or even just a camera and a bigger bezel and a frame. Do we really need to worry about putting the camera underneath?
It's tricky to answer, isn't it? Because when the whole notch first happened, there was quite a split of decision, really. People were like, oh my God, I can't believe that that's on an Apple phone. And then everyone kind of bought those devices and went, I don't even see it anymore. So I don't even think about it.
Mm.
But I suppose over time it has progressed and, you know, it's got smaller. You've gone away from notches into little, you know, little holes. There's been moments when it's expanded again, like Samsung putting a dual selfie camera on, which is in a pill shape, and then made kind of a bigger opening on the front. So people are thinking about it. They are noticing it. And when it's kind of roughly gone completely, it just gives the screen greater potential to kind of shine ultimately. So I think overall, there's definitely potential for it to make sense. In the case of this phone, though, because it's not sort of a super flagship, the bezel around the screen itself, although it's not massive by any means, it just doesn't quite highlight it perhaps as well as it could have. I think to really kind of sell it, you would need to get, you know, almost no bezel at all, kind of have a curved screen so that the idea of that camera being more or less invisible then becomes, you know, really pushed to the fore because you see nothing except screen in your hand, basically.
And the pictures that resulted from it, the selfies, are they, do you notice? I mean, is it got just a picture of your apps in front of you? Is it sort of peering through?
So the area where the camera is, it's almost like a little mesh. Like it's like a pixel on, pixel off, pixel on, pixel off kind of thing. So you don't really see it unless you really like properly look up close. And then it does actually kind of affect the fidelity of what you're looking at in those, say, apps, if they happen to be over that area. Thing is, app designers don't really make apps that actually cover that kind of part of the screen anymore, because most people are used to that being either blacked out or an area where your thumb might be or whatever. So by and large, you won't see it because it's a black background. But if you've got, say, as a video running in Netflix or something, and it's quite bright, you might occasionally capture a glimpse of this kind of little fuzziness, which is a bit strange. So that's the thing that perhaps needs to be improved in the future.
And likewise, on the flip side, when you take the pictures, do the pictures, have you got whatever's running on the screen in front of the camera at the time?
Oh, in the picture? No.
Yeah. Just imagine. It's like, what's that? Why have I got this like top of an app icon on my face?
No, it totally sees through it. That's kind of the whole point. The thing is with this device, though, the camera perhaps isn't that great. So although it works, it can see through the screen. It does what what it sells and says on the tin. It just doesn't deliver like the best selfies ever. So again, it's kind of, I think, in many ways, this phone is a thing to say, hey, we're here first. We've done this. You know, we've got it out there before anyone else and done it reasonably well. And it kind of does spell the future. But there's definitely like improvements that could be made, be that a better camera system overall or just tweaks to design and things that would really amplify the whole point of that underscreen camera being even less noticeable.
Beyond the camera, is it a phone that you should consider?
I mean, ZTE is quite a unknown brand, really, in the West. They have released some phones. It's something that I guess many consumers will want to consider. As an unknown brand, it's not something you're perhaps going to gravitate towards. It's not necessarily easy to find either. But it's not expensive. It's like £420. The specification is quite middling. The software is not too bothersome either. It kind of replicates Android with little bother. Screen's a decent size, decent refresh rate, so it's got quite a lot going for it as an overall. It's just really a case of how it's going to sell itself to an audience here in the West, really.
And do you think, you talked about this being sort of very early days for the technology, obviously ZTE will continue to try and put it in their phones going forward, one presumes. Do you think this will become the norm for most manufacturers in the next couple of years?
You'd think so, but saying that, we expected that, say, very imminent phones, we're assuming that the Galaxy S21 from Samsung, for example, was going to have this. It now appears, from what we can tell, that it won't. So perhaps people aren't too worried that it will become the next thing, or it will very just quietly become the norm. It's actually quite difficult to say, because I thought, given one manufacturer's pushed it out there, that we'd see it absolutely everywhere very quickly. That doesn't look to be the case yet, so I guess it's a case of wait and see on this one.
That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, pip pip.